one, if we just want to be ruthless baseball people, you now have an escape hatch that you have now gotten the reaction from your fan base. And I'm not saying that every team should run itself by what the fans think, but this has been a resounding rebuke of this hire by your fan base. So if it, just from a cutthroat way, you could do it. Now, if you want to also then look at it from a altruistic standpoint, Tony needs help. Does he really need to be the manager of the White Sox right now? And shouldn't that be something that is part and parcel to caring about the individual in this case? There's an opportunity here to reassess, and they're going to dig in. And they've made it clear. They've made it clear to their media surrogates that they're going to dig in on this, and it's extremely disappointing and frustrating.
Let's game this out a little differently. Let's say, just for the sake of possibility, that they're lying. They had no idea this was coming. And they're just saying, oh, yeah, of course we knew, because that's the first thing maybe they say, because they know that Jerry doesn't care. They know that nothing, that if nothing previously was disqualifying, nothing he said about protests, nothing he said about celebrations, nothing he said about supporting racial profiling in Arizona, actively, openly supporting what was deemed to by the Supreme Court to be illegal racial profiling. That wasn't disqualifying. The first DUI wasn't disqualifying. So the phone rings at night and it's Jeff Passan, and somebody has to just presume, because they don't control the team anymore, because they know it's one guy in charge of everything and they have no reason to believe anything's going to change. At first blush, like, oh, yeah, we were aware. We knew we were aware. Hangs up the phone. Now what do we do? I am fascinated now, today, to see how they own this. Like you say, if you're going to dig in, you got to say so. And they have been on total radio silence. Tony La Russa hangs up on the reporter. This has to be one of these times where we don't stop asking these questions. Why didn't you care about this? Did you know? When did you know? How was it discussed? What did Jerry Reinsdorf say that it didn't matter to him? And keep ringing La Russa's phone, because the questions aren't going to stop. They need to figure this out.
They do, and I'm not sure that they're capable of it.
Or empowered. Maybe they would be perfectly capable if their baseball people were running this.
That's what I mean.
Right. If this weren't something, I wouldn't say that they're not capable. As professionals in a given situation, I think the capability is there. I just don't think they're in charge. I don't think it's their show. I think what's going on is so disconnected from the actual business of baseball, from all of it, from advertising, from ticket sales, from marketing to personnel to baseball ops. It has nothing to do with them. It's only one guy doing this.
And that's a shame, because quite honestly, they could flip this on its head in an hour. They could come out and say, we are supportive of trying to get Tony La Russa the help that he needs. Therefore, we are going to be proactive in him getting that help that he needs. In the meantime, we need to have someone manage the White Sox. And that's a less important thing than Tony's health. It's a less important thing than that. They could hire Ozzie tonight, and it would flip this narrative on its head. They could hire Sandy Alomar tonight.
Bruce Bochy tonight.
Yep. They could, and all of it changes. But it feels as if the guy that's in charge of all this doesn't care. It doesn't matter to him. And all of us that do care about the guys that are on the roster or White Sox business or the culture of what was being built over here all have to come to grips with that and figure out how do we go about wanting success for Lucas Giolito and Tim Anderson and Dallas Keuchel and Aloy and Luis Robert and Jose Abreu, who's probably going to be named American League MVP tonight and is going to be forced to answer questions about his manager getting a DUI or his manager not reaching out to him before now, or whether or not his manager is going to be able to work inside the confines of the structure that's already been built by the players that are in that clubhouse. And here's the other thing. I know that my running buddy on my show, Herb Lawrence, is not a huge proponent of managers mattering. You know where they do matter? In the offseason. Marcus Stroman is on Twitter right now telling you, I ain't going there. I don't know what you think about Marcus Stroman. I think that he'd be a perfect fit for the middle of the White Sox's rotation. You could have him ahead or behind Kopech, depending on what you think of Kopech. And he says no amount of money is big enough for him to come play for Tony La Russa and this organization.
He took the Terry Bors "I'm not interested" sign and he hung it on the White Sox and lit it up with neon.
That's where a hire like this, you make a bad hire, these are the consequences. Now, I'm not saying that every free agent that is available is built the same way that Stroman is, that doesn't look at it as, well, I can find similar money somewhere else. I don't have to be in that environment. But the fact that at least one prominent free agent crossed you off the list and did so publicly, that's terrible for your brand. And it's terrible for the actual baseball. In this, if we are to take Rick at his word when he was talking about Yasmani Grandal and how the signing of Yasmani Grandal meant that the White Sox were open for business, then the inverse is true. If you have other free agents who are like, I'm not going to Chicago because of the clown show that they've put in the dugout, how can that not affect your team and your bottom line?
How about the guys who are already here, let alone the free agents who might be affected by something Marcus Stroman does? If you're Eloy Jimenez or if you're Tim Anderson, how does that make you feel? How does it, everything that's been built up here, all of this pride and all of this ownership and all this player forward stuff and everything you've been excited about, you know, whether it's the fans, observers, anything else, that connection, how does it feel to be on the White Sox right now? And it isn't just inconveniencing Jose Abreu or making him feel something other than 100% happy about his MVP award potentially. It has to do with, in general, going to work every day and thinking like, geez, this is what people think of our organization right now. It undercuts so much of what you built. It's incredibly unfortunate and ill-advised.
Undercut is a good word, because if you're Rick or if you're Kenny, like, you're sitting there I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, although I'm not sure that they've necessarily earned it in this particular case. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and said this wasn't their call. They would have gone in a different direction. And knowing those two guys, they probably had different ideas on who should be the manager. But I don't think either one of them would have come up with this as their conclusion.
Nope.
If you're those two guys and you're sitting there like, why did we do this? And now you also have this to deal with. You also have you have the possibility over these last 2 days with MLB, you know, handing out its awards, for actual celebrations of White Sox. Like that, that's a thing that could be in front of you. And it's all been ruined. It's absolutely been ruined. Where the White Sox were a month ago, it's almost like it doesn't exist because the decisions that were made by the owner of the team. It's been bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And you just see it. If you do have some, and I do, like, I have affection for both Kenny and Rick, I feel terrible if they wanted to go in a different direction after everything that had to happen for us to get here. The White Sox right now as an organization are a laughingstock again. And that's what they have been fighting so hard against. They've been fighting for years to be relevant, to be fun, to be an alternative, to be exciting. And in the matter of 2 weeks, they've taken everything that they've built and they've absolutely destroyed it.
And there are people in the organization. Here's the thing. That pain, everything you say is dead on. And if you talk to people within the organization, that's how they feel. They know it. Everybody knows. Rick Hahn, over the last 5 years, did almost everything right. From the moment it started with difficult trades to take risks on prospects, to pick out which prospects he wanted, to continue to develop those prospects, to then get people signed to incredibly team-friendly contracts, all of these things that were built, this entire body of work, and then to take something and say, you know what, screw that. That doesn't mean anything to me because I want to help my friend here. Who are the players going to like him? I don't know. I don't care. Are the fans going to like him? I don't know. I don't care. Is he the right fit for the right time? I don't know. I don't care. My team, I'm going to do what I want. The insult internally is it's one thing to insult fans and to say we don't care what you think and that we're going to make it so you're not proud of this team anymore. But damn it, if for Rick Hahn to have done everything as meticulously and carefully as he's done over the last 5 years, I can't get past the unfairness of that. It's just damn wrong.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, Dan. I think that it's a good word for it, but I'm also going to need them to be vocal about that. And it sucks. It really sucks, but I can't believe that either one of those guys thinks this is the proper direction. But I don't know that for sure because those two guys haven't said anything. So until they do, until they walk from this, they get to be guilty too. They get to be guilty in this because you would think that everything that both of those guys have done for this franchise would have been enough so that their opinion in this mattered enough that they could have the foresight and go, yep, Jerry, this isn't the move. Like, this isn't it. And if you're telling me that after all the things that they've done and accomplished and put this together, that Jerry can then just say, no, screw you. Screw what you guys think about this. I don't understand how both of those guys have a tremendous amount of respect in this game. I don't understand how either one of those guys can sit there still in those jobs after being so publicly disrespected by ownership and just wiping away everything that they have tried to build.
I just saw a hashtag cross. Our buddy Bill on Capitol Hill just hashtagged change the shame.
It's awful. It's all of it is just awful. Dan, I appreciate it. I will talk to you with Layla tomorrow, right?
Indeed you will. Thanks, Lawrence.
It's Layla Wednesdays tomorrow on the Dan Bernstein Show. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. This hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
If I'm Allen Robinson, you saw some of the crazy catches that he was able to make yesterday. Why am I going to do that here? Why am I going to? Because the best case scenario, if you're Allen Robinson, is they're going to draft a quarterback. And Nick Foles is probably going to be your starter next year because Ryan Pace committed salary to Nick Foles, guaranteed money to him. If I'm Allen Robinson, why do I want to play here? Why? I'm going to have to either live with Nick Foles or train another quarterback in what are probably the last best 3 years of my career. And you made me wait. You had me out here like a clown at the beginning of the season because everyone knew that you should have given me an extension? You'll overpay. Make him a baseball player, Herbie. Lyle, overpay. Yes! I feel like I nailed that one.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
I don't know. Maybe I did nail that one. I'm not sure. Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. There is a lot for us to discuss. Don't worry, we haven't forgotten about the Bears. In fact, two of our guests today are going to be talking specifically about your Chicago Bears. Mark Grody is going to update us on what's going on with the latest. We're going to make Grody like part of the show. Like, we need to have him on like once a week at least. And then Mike Tanier is going to discuss the Bears and what they've got going on as well. And Mike Hall is going to be on. I'm not going to ask him about the Bears. I might ask him about the White Sox, but I know that Big Ten Network has got some stuff that's going on. He wants to talk about that, and we just like him. He's almost as crazy of a White Sox fan as I am, and I'm sure that he's sitting there going, what is going on right now? Here's how I feel. I feel like this hire that was made, it was bad anyway. It was bad anyway. And I'm not here to argue with Tony's bona fides as a manager. Clearly, he has got the bona fides. I'm not even necessarily concerned with him being able to manage a game. The concern has always been, can he manage people? Can he manage this group of people, being that he hasn't done it for 10 years? But the issue with him and the DUI is, imagine any other candidate having this many question marks about what it is they are as a human being. No matter what their bona fides are. And then add this on top of that. How, if you're the White Sox as an organization, can you be proud of this hire that you made? Now, there's a couple things here. It seems pretty clear that there's an issue with Tony when it comes to alcohol. I am tolerant. I am sympathetic to that. Where my tolerance wanes is when you decide to get in a car after you've been drinking. I think it's interesting that throughout the press conference, and I thought the assembled media of White Sox people did a great job of trying to pin down Tony on some of his stances and how he's changed. And I think that what Bruce Maxwell said is valuable about in figuring out the entire mosaic on whether or not it's possible that Tony La Russa has changed or his views on things have softened over the last few months. I don't know if I buy it, considering what he was saying as recently as February, but whatever. It's possible. People can change, right? Why in the world, knowing what you knew, if you knew it, if we are to take what the White Sox said to Jeff Passan as true, that they knew about this before they hired him, why would it leads me to two conclusions, two choices. One, they thought that this was never going to get out. And they thought, oh, all right, this happened a while ago. There's a backlog of cases out in Phoenix. There's all sorts of stuff going on with COVID. We'll get this whole matter taken care of before it becomes public. Or two, they don't care. Either one of them is bad. Just so we're clear, door number one and door number two are both bad. And it's just like, did you even need, like, was this necessary? Let's say that you're a fan of Tony La Russa, the manager, that you believe in the bona fides. The guy's going to the Hall. He's in the Hall of Fame right now. He's won 3 World Series. Let's say that you're a fan of that. Is he so much better at this point in his career, after not managing for 10 years, than other alternatives that would not have brought you this level of embarrassment? The answer is no. He's not so much better that it's worth the level of embarrassment that he's brought your franchise. Whether we're talking about them hiring Sandy Alomar, whether we're talking about them rehiring Ozzie Guillen, hiring Bruce Bochy, or calling Ricky and being like, hey, Ricky, I know that you're a finalist for Manager of the Year. You want to just run it back? Like, we'll all hug it out with mask on, say we're sorry, and you can just come back. Is he that much better that it was worth that press conference that you had last week, the subsequent coverage of your team since then and the things that are now going to be focused on. You had a guy finish second for Rookie of the Year. Tomorrow you'll have a guy that's probably going to be named American League MVP. You had a manager that you